there. And welcome once again to another exciting edition of Chamber Chat. I'm your host, Jamie Gilmore. I am joined in studio, co-hosting tonight. We're going to tag team it. We got Cameron Bartlett, who right now holds the record for most co-host appearances, even though she's probably said, as a co-host, maybe 3 minutes worth of questions to our people in that time frame. Maybe, is that fair?
No, I've been way more.
I'm talking about questions for the guests, not five questions.
Oh, questions?
Just random co-host questions.
Oh, yeah.
All right, and of course, my man Jackson here. How are you?
I'm doing good. How about you, Jamie?
Welcome. He's been a part of the season two, and he's actually getting his first chance to co-host tonight. So if y'all have got some questions during our event, we've got a very special guest. It's food truck time. Let me be honest with you. We record in the evening time, and I'm starving. So as we talk about this food, I'm probably going to be pretty upset because I guarantee you, from what I hear, people absolutely love this food truck. It's been in a lot of events in Hueytown, and we're going to find out more about him and how he got his start and all that. And he's got a special guest, too. Didn't want to be mic'd, but that's okay. He can talk a little bit about her if he would like. I mean, I'm sure he'll give some shine out to her. But before we get started, though, we talked about this in the previous episode. I'm always looking for ways to challenge our Hueytown TV crew because they do such a good job. I mean, as much as I make fun of them and mess with them, I think that I also have to give them an opportunity to do some good things. So we talked about the President's Challenge. Now, here's how it works. You've got to be able to name all the presidents, and once you do this, from start to finish, I've got a very special prize for you. Now, the chances of these two doing it this evening are probably not too strong, but we're going to see, first and foremost, who's got the early lead, because somebody eventually is going to do this. Because, Jackson, if you study this, you can do it. I mean, you can.
Yeah, I could. Yeah. But I have bigger priorities than the President's Challenge.
Well, we're not saying quit your day job and quit school and everything, but I mean, this is something very easy to do. So, yes, you get your hand up. You don't have to put your hand up.
I know, but I don't want to interrupt you.
Go ahead. You're not interrupting me. Go ahead.
Do they have to be in order?
That's the point. Yes, they have to be in order. It's the President's Challenge. Listen, I did this like in seventh grade, so it's not that hard. I mean, I'm going to be honest with you. Really, once you get, because think about it, if you went backwards, okay? If you went backwards, it's a lot easier for you because obviously you know this president, you know the president before him. I mean, you should know the first five or six just by walking around. So we're going to find out who can get the most early on. I have no confidence whatsoever right now in Cameron, but she looks very scared. But we're going to go ladies first. So Cameron.
No. Like, I have mine down. I just don't know what order they go in. Like, I know two of them.
Well, here's what you're going to do. You're going to give me your order, right? And then if you're wrong, I'm going to go ahead and call you and say, okay, that's good. We'll try again next episode. Eventually, somebody's going to get this. I'm going to let Gavin do it. He's going to knock out of the park the first time. I mean, Gavin, look how confident this man looks right now. By the way, with his headphones on, looking so professional over there. So just give me your order right now. We'll tell you how confident, on a scale of 1 to 10, how confident are you in doing this?
2.
Okay, that's not good. All right, you ready to try?
No.
Okay, if you don't get them, it's fine. This is just practice. We're gonna you know, again, it's not that big a deal. Okay, you're just doing it for the first time. It's not a big deal.
I can't remember these two names, but I know one of them though.
Okay, so you want to postpone this until the next
episode? No, I'm gonna do this.
Okay, so it's in order. So just give me your
maybe.
Just do it. Just do it okay, in the order that you have.
So obviously the first president, George Washington.
That's okay, are you sure about that?
Yes.
Okay, you're right.
Then you have the 16th, which is Abraham Lincoln.
Okay, but that's not order, though. That's
I'm doing the one that I know.
Oh, my gosh.
I'm doing the one that I know.
Okay, so, again, I'm going to stress for all of America.
We have to go actually in order 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10?
Yes, the whole... It's the presidential...
You said they're the ones that we know.
Yeah, in order.
These are mine in order. 1, 16th, then you have...
Okay. We're
random
stop.
Ones?
We're going to stop
consecutive,
right
I think, is the word we're looking for.
Our guests are laughing here. Would you like to give me the first shot of the first few?
Okay, I think I can get up to maybe 6.
Okay, well, now what makes you think you can get up to 6?
Because I don't remember the rest.
Okay, so go ahead, give them to me, and I know you can do this, right? I know you can. I'm confident in 6. You did a good job. You got George right. That's impressive.
It's like once you get to like, I don't think I can get there in order yet. But once you get to like Grover Cleveland,
we know that Cameron's not going to be
and like this. John Tyler. That's where it gets confusing.
All right, let's go ahead and go real quick.
All right, George Washington, okay. Number one. Number two is Andrew Jackson.
That's incorrect. It's okay. It's a good try, though. Both of you got George right. So give me a round.
It's 5.
Nice. Good job on that.
Huh? Is it John Adams?
Yes. Yes. Okay. Yes. 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 And okay. Then... see if you can get the third one. Then we're going to move on to our guest. I'll give you a hint. He was born in the 1700s. That's a great hint. You can't get this hints like that anywhere.
A lot of people were born in the 1700s.
Yes, a lot were. They weren't presidents.
Okay, it's not JQA because that's the next one.
No, that's incorrect as well.
No, I never said that was my answer.
All right.
I can't get it.
Okay, so it's Thomas Jefferson. So both of you right have a lot of work to do, but Jordan Jackson will not get George Washington right, I'm pretty sure, even if he wears that hat, right? Probably not going to happen. Okay. No. Okay. Here we go. Let's go ahead and bring our guest in. We're so sorry you had to sit through that, watching the youth.
Enjoyed every second of it.
Johnny LaFoy, talk about your food truck. Your name of your food truck real quick is what?
Austin Whereabouts.
Okay. So where'd you come up with that name?
All right. So barbecue in the South is very different from barbecue in Texas. And when you get out there, the Texas style, Central Texas style barbecue is... it's more of a destination rather than just a location to eat.
Okay.
And I say that because there are places like Terry Black's or Franklin Barbecue. Franklin is who I most closely base my my barbecue on. These guys will have a line for them at 6 in the morning, and they open at 11, and by 3 o'clock they're sold out of food. It's huge, and people will fly from all over the country or from all over the world to go to these places and wait in line, and that's the kind of food. Once you go there and you try a Franklin brisket, it's
a game changer.
It's a life-changing thing. So that's what I wanted to do here, because you can't find that kind of barbecue here. Everything no. here is direct heat, you know, mostly pork. You know, there's no beef. In Texas, your beef brisket is your go-to. And so the reason I named it Austin Whereabouts is because the most famous restaurants are typically in Austin, Texas. Franklin Barbecue being, my favorite one, and he's like the Mecca of
the Godfather
brisket.
Of yeah.
Okay. So that's where the name came from, Austin Whereabouts.
We're going to talk more about that. I want to get into the different styles of barbecue, because there are several. Barbecue can be kind of regional, so we'll talk about that. But let's talk about Johnny. Let's talk about you real quick. Did you grow up in Hueytown, from the Hueytown area?
Yes.
Okay.
Graduated Hueytown High School, lived here basically my whole life. So,
okay.
And my wife, you mentioned her earlier, my wife here, mic.
We offered a mic her tonight. She was like, no, boss, I'm not going to be a part of this.
So this is Laura LaFoy, and she also is, a Hueytown OG. So
did you play, you're like a big guy, did you play football?
I did not. I was in the band.
Really? So, okay. All right. Well, I thought you offensive
percussion
tackle.
Yeah. Representative.
Right. Yeah. Okay. Great. Great.
Taught me a lot.
any college after high school?
Yes. UAB. I actually was in the band there as well.
Go Blazers.
That's right.
So you were there when kind of football was getting going?
I was there. Let's see. I graduated high school 2000. So, and then I actually did trade school before I went to UAB. So I didn't get there until 2004. So they were already, pretty well rolling. And from the time I left, they actually lost the program and then brought it back.
Okay. All right.
But, yeah, it was pretty well established by the time I made it there.
Now, went to school, majored in what?
Had planned to major in music education. I didn't finish.
Okay.
So I did go, and was, again, a marching blazer. I was on the drum line there and percussion. But
sure.
But I ended up not graduating there. I ended up going back to the trade school routes and went the automotive route, actually.
Okay. So did you want to start your own shop? Did you want to be a mechanic? What did you want to do? Did you want to teach? What did you want to do with that?
Started out, so the music thing, I did want to teach. I wanted to be a music education major. And, just when you're young, sometimes you make choices that aren't
most change.
Beneficial. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so when I got into automotive, I wanted to own a shop. And I was on the tech side and ended up taking a part-time job selling auto parts. And I was there for maybe 3 months. And at that, I don't know, I guess they saw something. So they ended up promoting me to a full-time management position. And so really the bulk of my career ended up managing parts stores for a long time. And, I still had the technician background, which really helped as far as parts go. And from there, I ended up teaching. I actually taught. These two guys were students of mine in the automotive program at Hueytown.
Unfortunately, you had to teach these two guys. That's unfortunate. So bad. Let me say about the parts store, though. I'm somebody that has no idea about cars. So when I walk into a parts store, when I talk to somebody, I'm so glad that people are nice and do not take advantage of me and go, well, you need this right here. This only costs you $946. Right. So if you did that, thank you so much for, we need more people like that, you know, in the parts store helping out. So teaching, that had to be, you know, teaching young men to work on cars and be a part of that had to be outstanding.
It was a blast. The barbecue thing was kind of a hobby in the background that I always liked the idea of doing professionally. But, teaching is where I wanted to be. And even though I did not teach in the field that I was planning to go to school for, it was awesome to be able to use my background to be able to teach anyway. And there's so many opportunities for students when you get into trades. A four-year college is great. A degree is great. But it doesn't always translate into a career.
Yeah.
And there are just so many usable skills in the career tech programs. Like even this, you know, these guys right here are kind of living career tech right now, just being in on this podcast. So, because this is, you know, Coach Coyne's
TV production. Sure.
So, great guy, by the way. Coach Coyne's awesome.
He is an awesome guy. We're, you know, he helps out. He does a lot of editing for us. He's a big part of the show. So, Coach Coyne, if you're listening, greatly appreciated. I like what you said about the trade school, because here's the thing. You know, college is costing more and more.
Yeah.
And people are going to school. They're not finishing. They're owing tons of money. And then they get a degree that they can't necessarily do anything with when they get out of school sometimes.
Exactly.
To where there are trades out there where out of high school, you're making $50,000, $60,000 a year.
Easily.
Now, here's the key. You got to put some work. So if you're listening, you're going to have to work a little bit, but there's money to be made. There's a lot of trades out there, and mechanic being one of them.
Oh, yeah, definitely. You know, it's even my students that were in my program, I wanted them in my program. But, I mean, you can ask them. I also pushed for them to try the other programs. Or there's another school called the Academy of Craft Training, and you can go there and learn welding or HVAC or building construction. There's so many things out there.
Electrician.
Yeah, that's a huge one. So, we're talking there are people that are coming out of this program, graduating high school, and able to step into a career that you're already making more than what most college graduates are.
Yeah.
You know, if you're willing to put in the hours and the sweat.
Sure. And you did. Hey. Obviously, you did a good job. We won't talk about the history teachers right now after that presidential challenge. But but they were definitely obviously paying attention to your class. On a scale of 1 to 10, this generation. Now, I know growing up, generations before, a lot of people worked on their car. You know, is that happening now? What is on a scale of 1 to 10, the percentage of these young people knowing how to work on cars?
It's slim. It's almost an epidemic because all the technicians that have been doing it for years are retiring, but there's no one to replace them with.
Okay.
And then to go farther, the more advanced we go with technology in cars, and as more things are electronically and, you know, basically run off of computers, obviously, to the point that when you get into Teslas and Rivians, things like that, it's basically a computer with wheels. You know,
it's different. The world has changed.
Yeah. And so 4-year college degree programs have been pushed so much to where there's no one learning these trades. And so it creates a big gap because technology advanced, but the technicians had to kind of advance with it. And now that they're retiring and coming out of the field, there's a big gap in that training now, you know? So it's, there's more opportunity for students now if they're just willing to go that route, just because it's almost an emergency in the way that they need technicians like this.
Now, the good news, though, with those trades, a lot of jobs are there.
Oh, yeah.
Because not a lot of people want to do it.
Yeah.
And so, you know.
And it's a competitive job market, too. So people will throw money at you to come and work for them.
With that certain skill set. So if you're listening right now, please think about that. If college is not for you, don't go waste time. Don't go there for a year and just have a good time and then come out with nothing.
Yeah.
Think about these trades. There's a lot of them out there where you can make a good living in your community and make a difference.
And then, you know, with college, you're paying for these lessons, this education.
Sure. A lot.
You're getting paid basically for your education. I don't want to throw specific programs out, but I don't know how we are with names of businesses.
Yeah.
But there is a program right here in Bessemer that if you were to enroll in that program, you're actually hired as a technician. You'll go back and forth between working in a shop and going to their classes.
You can mention the name.
Yeah. Okay, so it's at Bevel. It used to be Bessemer State Tech.
Yeah.
I say Bevel, not Bevel. It's Lawson.
Yeah.
and that's actually where I went when it was Bessemer State Tech. But if you go to the Toyota T10 program, basically they're going to find you a job as a tech, and you'll spend several weeks in the classroom, several weeks working in a shop, getting paid for that. So you're getting paid for what you're
and learning. That hands-on experience.
Absolutely. I mean, yeah. And that's a win-win. Irreplaceable.
Oh, hands-on. Absolutely. Yeah. You can't beat experience like that in the field, in any career.
Yeah.
Really can't.
For sure. So.
Well, let's transition to why we're here, your food truck. And so I like barbecue. I like it certain times of the year. But I've really only had, you know, I've eaten barbecue here. I've had Memphis barbecue. Rendezvous is really good. Yeah. But it's kind of a tourist type kind of place. Yeah. It is. So what do you think, the best barbecue in the country, you talked about Texas. Is that the best?
It's my favorite. Okay. Yeah, and people have different tastes. Yeah. If you meet someone from Kansas City and you talk about anyone else's barbecue, they'll laugh in your face. You know,
okay, so gotcha.
Very prideful about Kansas City barbecue. Yeah. But Texas is my favorite just because it's so different. It's simpler in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
But you know, everywhere you go, it's going to be about pulled pork and ribs. In Texas, the big thing is beef brisket, and you hardly find that around here. And if you do find it around here, what I found has not been very good, you know. Nothing like when you take a bite of a slice of brisket out there and you're, yeah. I mean, it's just eye-opening. Like,
and they feed you there, too.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, when you get a plate of food, be prepared. Yeah. Sit down. I mean, really pack a toothbrush. You're going to be there a while.
Yeah.
Put and your bib on.
It's steep. And most, you know, out there, the proteins, they're basically charging by the pound on it. And I know, at Franklin, it's $34 for 1 pound of brisket, you know. That's, you know. It's steep, but it's worth every penny. And there's a craft to it. It's actually called craft barbecue, and that's what they've fallen in love with out there. Not just the money and the selling of it, but it's the craft of making it. You know, it's a big deal. So.
Favorite sauce?
I'm not really a sauce guy. That's really? Another thing, and I know we keep throwing that to Texas.
That's interesting, right there. Okay, all right. So a lot of people that love barbecue. It's because their sauce is so good. You know, my sauce is this. I made this sauce homemade. So you're saying you're not a sauce fan.
Right. Now, I have a favorite sauce if I'm going to use one. I like Dreamland's barbecue sauce. It's and I guess I just like different stuff. It's different from everyone else's. So it's, you know, vinegar and pepper heavy. It's kind of spicy. But so I guess if I had a favorite, that's going to be it. But I want to make my barbecue good enough to where you don't need sauce. If you want it, that's fine. I'm not. You know, there are some people that would get mad if you put sauce on their food. I'm not that guy. Yeah. We're in Alabama and sauce is a big deal here, so to each their own, but I want to make sure that the food that I'm serving is good enough to eat without.
Okay. So I had the opportunity one time to I've emceed a couple of barbecue contests, and I've actually judged one once. And now I'm not a barbecue connoisseur, but I like ribs. What are you looking at?
I'm a barbecue person?
Connoisseur, meaning I'm not an expert.
Oh.
I like it. Camera look, you were so disappointed. I'm sorry. You were so disappointed. She's like about to cry. You don't like barbecue?
I'm
like,
sorry.
At first you don't like casseroles. Now you don't like barbecue.
Okay, casserole and barbecue is two different things.
Well, apparently you didn't like it when Jamie said he was a barbecue guy.
We're gonna table this conversation. But Cameron gave me this look. I had to stop. Okay, so what I was gonna say is though, I like ribs that fall off the bone.
Yeah.
Okay, but in a contest, that's not really what they really want.
It's not.
Explain that.
So, and most contests, and this gets back into Kansas City, the biggest contests are from what's it called? I can't remember the acronym. It's four letters, Kansas City something. But when they're judging, number one, their biggest. The biggest thing they're looking for is that you have a good sauce that they'll like, not necessarily even one you like.
When they
you got to get to know the judges and try and make what you think they want. As far as textures, if it's too tender, they'll tell you it's overcooked, whereas most people want it to be.
I want to fall tender. The bone. Yeah.
You know, brisket even. If Aaron Franklin, I keep talking about this guy, but he's you know my.
Your
self-made mentor.
Barbecue mentor, gotcha.
He entered a Kansas City competition and placed middle of the road on everything, but he sells 106 briskets a day out of his restaurant.
Wow.
I mean, it's insane how much.
That must be some pretty good brisket.
Oh, yeah. So,
yeah.
But yeah, they're weird about textures. Like with ribs, they want there to be like they want to see the bite mark in it. You know,
you got to kind of chew on it a little bit.
Yeah. And but yeah, if I want a rib, I don't want it to fall off the bone necessarily. I want to be able to bite it off the bone. But if I want to pull the bone out, though, I want it to come out. I feel like I need toothpicks and floss after I eat ribs. Yeah. You know, and that's most of what you get around places. Even here, there's nothing that's really cooked necessarily to tenderness. You know, or the style. Everything's cooked over direct heat, so it can't get tender without burning, you know.
Have you ever been in a competition before?
I have, but not like one of the big circuits. There's,
yeah.
It's more of a benefit competition I do. It's twice a year at Cahaba Brewing downtown. It's called Cahaba Q. And all the proceeds for it, like, there's no, you know, purse that you win or anything. All the money goes to breast cancer research. But the one they held this past, was it October? I actually came in second place at that one. So.
Wow, congratulations.
Thank you.
That's impressive.
My first real award. So,
so you're making the perfect barbecue plate for you. What's on there?
So, and I actually sell it. I made the perfect plate for me, part of my menu.
Gotcha.
On the menu, it's called the Texas Trinity.
And, all right. That sounds delicious, by the way.
Okay.
Let's bring that next time. Next time we have an event, you're there. Let's get some Texas Trinity on the plate.
Beautiful name for a beautiful dish.
Right. So the Texas Trinity, if you ask anyone out there, is going to be brisket, ribs, and sausage.
Okay.
And so on my truck, I serve brisket. I serve the pork spare ribs. And then on the sausage, I have an all beef sausage and then a cheddar jalapeno sausage.
Ooh, that sounds good.
That one's my favorite. Sometimes, you know, when you cook this stuff all the time, you almost,
you don't want to really
I'm
eat.
I'm definitely
yeah.
all about the craft. I'm not necessarily always about eating it all the time anymore.
Yeah.
But I will always eat those cheddar jalapeno sausages.
Oh, that sounds so
incredible.
Good. Wow.
And so, and then the sides I have, they're pretty simple. It's potato salad. I serve baked beans, and then Mexican street corn. And I love street corn, but I don't like eating it off the cob. So the one I make, you actually can eat with a fork.
It's it a little easier for you? Okay. Yeah.
And,
all right.
And so my perfect plate is going to be probably the potato salad, the street corn, and then, of course, the brisket, the ribs, and then a cheddar jalapeno
And
sausage.
Once you eat that plate, you must go to sleep for a while because that's a lot of food. It's time for a nap.
It's a heavy plate, that's for sure.
So talk about the idea, where it came from. You said, okay, and I know you talked about Austin, but yeah. I want to make this food truck. I want to have it in here, Hueytown, around this area. What made you finally decide to do that?
It was at the end of my teaching contract, and I still had a few months where, you know, up that before the contract ended that, you know, I'm, school's out through the summer and I'm still getting paid, you know, up to October.
Yeah.
And thinking about what I wanted to do next after this. And barbecue was always a thing. And actually my wife suggested, she was like, well, why don't you just, you know, go on Facebook and try and sell some pork butts or something. And
okay.
So I did. And, you know, and it was, you know, you kind of get sneaky with marketing. So the first post I ever made said that I had 10 pork butts left. I had not sold a single pork butt. I just made it sound like I only had 10 left to try and, but within a day they were sold. People just bought them. And I thought, well, that's great. You know, so I've, you know, I feel like I've tricked people into buying these, but they, you know, they saw the ad and they bought them. So, well, after they bought them, the feedback I got from that about how good they were was way more than I expected. So I don't know. We just kind of, we had a few months to spare where I was able to kind of attack this without it being my sole source of income.
Yeah.
So we rolled the dice and came up with a plan, and it took a long time. You know, there's a lot that goes into opening a food truck behind the scenes as far as permits and health department and business licenses and, you know, equipment that's required. And like if I could write a book on that, it's different everywhere you go, but I could make a fortune just kind of putting a roadmap out for that, because that was complicated.
You should, because there's a lot of people. Food trucks are huge right now.
Yeah.
So there's probably a lot of people that would really appreciate that. That's something to think about.
Yeah. So if I can find a lot of people in Jefferson County, I know, like I said, it's different everywhere you go, but with Jefferson County, I've kind of got it figured out now. So, but yeah, it took a lot of time. Like I said, a lot of figuring stuff out as we go, just because we knew nothing about the business of it. I could cook barbecue all day long, but you know, having everything set in place to where they're going to allow me to go out and set up and sell the way I do now was it was a definitely a good learning experience. But no, it just kind of grew. Like I was able to get this big following on social media that to where when I opened the truck, it was like day one, you know, bam, we opened up, and then within 3 hours we're sold out, you know. And it's been like that almost every event we've been to or any time we set up. I see food trucks at Pleasant Ridge over here often, and so I decided to go set up there one day, and same thing, in less than 2 hours I was out of food.
That's a good problem to have.
Yeah, I'm all about it.
Get there quick.
Yeah. The days I have to take it home, my family just is starting to hate barbecue because, you know, all the leftovers got to go somewhere. So.
Well, listen, here, I'll give you my address.
All right.
I'll give you mine, too.
Make stop. We'd be more than happy to take some of this off your So, with it being as successful as it is, and I know this is tough to do, but has there ever been an idea about, okay, maybe try a restaurant?
Absolutely.
Okay. Where would be your dream location?
Austin.
No, out here.
That's a tough commute. Yeah. To Hueytown, Austin.
Well, that and, you know, here my barbecue is different from everyone else's, so it gives me something for people to, you know, look forward to or seek after. In Austin, I would just be another guy making barbecue. Like, it's everywhere out there. So lots of really big famous restaurants, and I would just be like, I don't know, mediocre out there, I'm sure. But these guys just have grown up in it. And,
yeah.
But
here's a little different. I mean, you got a lot of chains barbecue, but they didn't all start that way.
Right.
You know, Dreamland started in a house in Tuscaloosa.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I mean, and obviously to me, it's not near as good as it was when I had it as a kid in Tuscaloosa, because when you franchise stuff out, it loses a little bit every time.
It does.
So to me, I think if you started it, there's not a lot of competition for great barbecue in the state, and in my opinion.
Yeah. And I would love, so if there's any, you know, anyone who's willing to invest and get something going, because all my money's out of in this food truck. So, it's definitely something on the radar for the future. It's just a matter of, I guess, being successful enough for long enough to get to that point. So definitely hope to.
Well, you talked about, is there anything else in your menu that you haven't talked about that you want to push?
I really haven't yet. It's a pretty simple menu with you're limited on space with a food truck.
Sure.
So, you know, a lot of guys that come out with these just big, huge menus, you end up creating a lot of wait time for customers. And that's kind of one of the things I pride myself on, is we're able to get customers in and out.
Yeah.
And then there's not a lot of room for storage or for, you know, warmer space to keep food, ready to serve. So it's a pretty small menu. We sell chips and drinks and stuff like that too. And, for a lot of we did some events with the elementary schools, and for that, I don't know how many, you know, third graders are running after brisket, so we would sell hot dogs and things like that. But and then we sell banana pudding, and, you know, it's a pretty simple recipe, but a lot of people, I get a lot of reaction on that. So
yeah, Cameron just made a face like she's in love.
I love, you like banana pudding? Okay. So much.
Great.
That's the face I made when talking about brisket.
So, yeah, we tried a couple of different desserts, but that one had the best reaction, so we just kind of stick with that one. But,
well, it kind of goes to barbecue.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I get that.
Even though, if you look at my menu board, it says you're not required to eat banana pudding with barbecue, but you should be.
Yeah.
So, it's like I said, it's a pretty simple menu now, and if we had a restaurant, we would be able to expand that. But,
sure.
But for the most part, like, beef ribs are a big thing in Texas, and even out there, because the cost of them and how few there are that you have access to. Most places only serve them like one day a week, like on Saturdays or something. But that's something that in the future I would like to add.
I don't know if you've talked about, do you ever branch off into the white sauce?
I haven't. I've pretty much just stuck to a red.
Is it not a fan or just?
Oh, I love it. Saul's Barbecue has
chicken?
Yes.
That bacon? Oh, yeah.
Hey, sometimes I'll get and dip the ribs in it.
Oh, yeah.
So it's good on everything.
That's a fantastic sauce.
Most white sauces I've tried, I didn't care for. It just tastes like a bunch of peppery mayonnaise.
Yeah.
Saul's Barbecue's white sauce is incredible.
That's a great place. And that sauce with that chicken, it is really good.
Oh, yeah.
Give me some events you're going to be at. So let everybody know.
Let's see. I've got a lot of applications out. And so I mentioned City Fest. I'm hoping to get in on that. I'm also got an application with Furnace Fest in. It's Sloss Furnaces in October.
They used to have Stoking the Fire. I went there many times. That was a barbecue contest at Sloss.
Yeah.
And they stopped doing it. I'm still upset about it.
There you go.
Because I love eating barbecue.
Well, this one coming up, one of the guys that kind of owns it or puts it on is a buddy of mine, Johnny Grimes. I think this is the last year of it. It's made to mimic a you know, 4-year festival or whatever that happened in the early 2000s. And so the same group of guys recently purchased Workplay Theater downtown and reopened it. So, but the one coming up, if you don't know what Furnace Fest is, it's like a 3-day music fest, a bunch of like, you know, rock bands, metal bands and stuff. And it's really like he just went through all the bands that we used to listen to growing up and was like, let's just have a festival with all these guys.
Yeah, that sounds fun.
Plus barbecue. But,
yeah. There's tons of food trucks at it. And so lots of vendors, because there's tons of people. We're talking almost 100 bands.
I'm about to make an appearance.
3-day period. Oh. Yeah, it's a big deal. I this will be the first time I will be a vendor at it if I am able to get. Yeah. The logistics of providing that much barbecue for 3 days
is
tricky. It's but so, let's see. I think the next thing I really have booked, Hop City downtown, will be there on the 16th from 11 to 7. Any events we have coming up though, as we book them and get going, they'll all be on our Facebook page. It's just facebook.com/AustinWhereabouts. So. But yeah, we definitely try to keep it updated. And
well, if you're out and about over the next several months, the next year, Austin's Whereabouts, if it's there, do yourself a favor, give it a try.
Well, you'll find it because you'll see the line.
Yeah, absolutely. And I want to say this too. I've got Megan Kiker, who's on the board of directors with me in here right now. And at any point in time, you want to cater just the chamber. We would love to test the food out and give it a shot, and we'd be more than happy to be a part of that.
So we still haven't done our ribbon cutting yet, and so once we set that up, I plan on for everyone that comes out to that, we're gonna feed everyone for it. So.
Awesome, sounds great.
I'm really hungry right now.
Well, that was what we talked about. I'm the same way, Cameron. Your face is definitely proving that. Let's do 5 questions now again. And okay, so you two, you got the 5th.
Oh, thank God.
You got the 4th.
Okay.
And I've got the first 3. Okay, this is going to be a tough one for you. Your last meal, but it can't be barbecue. The last thing you're ever going to eat, but it can't be barbecue.
Oh, man. Let's see. Wow,
that's a tough question.
Really,
that's
is.
What I do here. I throw out tough questions during 5, and then I'll throw out something about a Pop-Tart later, maybe. There you go.
Man, who would have thought a food guy would have to think about a food question?
Well, you know, you're so barbecue oriented now, it's probably hard. But what was, you know, think about stuff you like before you your barbecue food truck. I know mine. I would give it to you in a heartbeat.
I like seafood. So yeah,
okay.
Just throw any kind of crab and lobster and shrimp at me, any of that stuff. I'd be down with that.
All right, any kind of crab, lobster, so any kind of seafood.
Yeah.
Any, you know, do you like? Is there a restaurant that you like? Do you like going to the Gulf?
Yeah, I don't have a specific one. Yeah. Anything down there?
It's great though. It's fresh. It's fresh. Absolutely.
And then the scenery there makes it that much more enjoyable.
All right, dream career, not barbecue, not car related. Dream career. And ladies and gentlemen, I am putting him on the spot today.
It probably would have been, you know, band director. That's, you know.
Okay.
We'd always said before, like, if we won the lottery and never had to work, I would still probably go back and finish that degree and be a band director. Just, and I have some band director friends who tell me I'm an idiot for saying that, and that I would, but say it makes it sound like I, you know, it's more work than I think they think I realize, but no, I think that's one that I would really have enjoyed. It's been a band director.
Okay. So. Favorite flavor ice cream?
There is, Bluebell has it's like a cinnamon roll dough ice cream.
That sounds healthy.
Oh, it's terrible. But I ate a bowl last night. I should not have, but I did.
Okay. All right. Go ahead, Jackson.
Mine actually does have meaning. And I wanted to ask this during the podcast, but Jamie went on to 5 questions. But
wow, Jamie.
Yeah, I want to make sure I want to know what Jackson wants before I keep going. That's what I'll do now. I'll write that down.
How do people in the food trucking community go about like getting spots? Is it like first come, first serve, or do y'all have like this whole Facebook?
A little of all of it. It's just networking and like with Hueytown, it's a matter of just talking to the property owners and getting, you know, we actually have to have permission letter on file for that. But, you know, if it's bigger events, a lot of times there's an application process and some places, you know, will we've seen block parties and stuff where they'll actually pay us a minimum deposit to come out. There's some places, Furnace Fest being one, you actually have to pay them to get your spot, you know? And so it kind of, it's all over the place. It just depends on the situation where you're at. And so, a lot of the places we do just, and what most people do is if someone will let you park on their property for free, that's the ones you go for because, you know, there's no cost in that. And especially if it's a good location on a busy road. So,
awesome. Final question. I'm saving the best for last. The main events. She is not the opening act. She is the headliner. Fifth and final question. Uh-oh. Go, Cameron. No pressure.
Favorite candy.
Favorite candy.
That was mine.
All that buildup for nothing.
No, it's a great question, Cameron. That's why you're my favorite co-host.
What are
right
those?
There.
It's like the Nerds, the gummy ones with the mini Nerds all over them. What are those?
Clusters? Gummy clusters?
Yes.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, those
Wait,
I can't
pink
buy.
Or blue bag?
I like the blue bag.
You're going in depth with the follow-up
I've never had
there.
The blue
I like
bag.
It.
I love that. Yeah, I ate a bag
I like
the
them
other
both,
day.
But I think I like the blue bag better.
Well, once again, thank you so much. Austin's Whereabouts, Johnny LaFoy, thank you for being a part of Chamber Chat. Looking forward to eating the food.
Yeah.
Looking forward to seeing the events, and we wish you nothing but the best of luck.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it. So,
and our go-home song, I'm going to take you back a little bit. I'll Stand By You by The Pretenders. We hope you enjoy. You've been listening to Chamber Chat.
Oh, why you look so sad? Tears are in your eyes. Come on and come to me. Ashamed to cry. Let me see you through. 'Cause I've seen the dark side too.